This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. The program is not being produced today by Mr. Michael Cohen. He is off today. In for Mr. Cohen is Mr. Matt Deutsch. He is producing this here program, and what a program it'll be. Hopefully, we've got Propage, of course, that will pop out at the end of the program. I went back to doing 10 props last week, and I'm very suspicious and superstitious. Sorry. I went back to 10, and that went well. We went 7-3 last week. So we have 10 props, including a best bet for you. We got back on the winning track there. We're now 8-2. In terms of the Friday best bets. We had a good night last night. We'll recap Jets Patriots. We'll also check in with our guy Ben Stevens on week 12 in college football. Ben Stevens, of course, from VSiN, and he'll pop on with us and give us, I think he's got three props and a spread pick. And then we'll also check in with our guy over at fantasypoints.com, Mr. Jake Tribby. And we'll see what he has cooking for week 11 DFS plays. As always, make sure you download and subscribe to the Prop Points podcast wherever you get your pods, Apple, Spotify, and the like. Well, let's recap last night. We were, I think, 6 yards short of another perfect night at 6-0, but we'll take it as we emerge victorious here with the Propage. We popped out 6 and we went 5-1. We did get a little lucky on the Breece Hall prop. I did say yesterday that I went in on it on Tuesday at over 60.5, but that it had been bet up to, I don't know, what was it, like 50, 56? And I did kind of caution against taking the under, which did that hit? Let's take a look, because it was really, really close. So, he ran for, 58. So if you would have taken the under yesterday, you would have lost. That's why I said don't do it. Basically, I said we're locked in, and we got it done here at 58 rushing yards. So, hey, no wonder, baby. We finally got lucky with a prop where we basically won by just a couple of yards. The analysis, I must say, was very much on point with the three receivers for the Patriots. I did state that I kind of insinuated that maybe Trevion Henderson is not going to hit that 80-yard mark, which he didn't. And I thought, you know, I think they're going to throw it a little bit more than people think as 13-point home favorites, and Drake May threw it 34 times. It's a pretty big number. Steph Diggs, as the data showed yesterday, we were all over that. He was all over the place. Didn't think he'd catch that many balls. He did take away a little bit from DeMario Douglas. We didn't get the Thursday night special. You know, pretty good try there. It just wasn't happening in this game. Stephon Diggs just bogarted a lot of the production, but he does go over. And we get a win there. That lone loss, I said it would be coaching malpractice if they don't get Breece Hall more involved in the passing game. It was. And they lost. And they only threw for 116 yards. And it's inexcusable to face one of the best run defenses in the NFL, and you have two very good pass-catching running backs, and you get 6 yards out of them guys. That's terrible. Terrible, terrible job by the Jets, costing us perfection. But the Mason Taylor analysis held up because I was afraid of taking the under. I wanted to go under. I was afraid to take the under on the catch total or the yardage total. He does get 4 grabs. I think the total was 3.5, so we went over there. And he was right there on top of the yardage total. So what did we do? We got a little creative there, and we said, look, Mike Vrabel is not going to let Mason Taylor beat them for a big play. So let's go under 14.5 yards. That also hit. And I also, because I'm a nice guy, I submit my picks very early. I give everybody plenty of time to create the graphic. I've been dealing with this for 30 years. maybe 25, getting picks into television graphic people. They want it now, of course. They want it 3 days before the games. But I always do send in my picks very early. And I sent in the only Justin Fields rushing prop I could find at 9 a.m. yesterday morning. And it was a terrible total because once it came out on DraftKings, I believe it was down to like 32. So we were actually in on a number that was 7 or 6 yards over the actual damn total. And we still hit. The analysis was right there on point. I said, they're not really going to be able to create much offense, but they're going to get something here, much more than last week. How? Well, shout out to John Metchie. I didn't know he would do as well as he did. I love John Metchie. But my answer was Justin Fields is going to run, take the ball in his hands, and that was very evident on the first drive. Hell, he almost hit the prop on the first drive. So another good day, a little Thursday night action, and we love it. We don't get the touchdown prop, and we don't get the special. But, you know, honestly, 50 yards for DeMario Douglas, he got 36 on only 3 targets. So basically, if Stephon Diggs wasn't bogarting all the looks, getting 11 targets and catching 9 balls, I think that probably would have hit as well. And also, shout out to Matt Collins. That was my other choice for the Thursday night special. He does not score. But again, another solid day. We are feeling good about Novunder. We are now 13-1 on unders in Novunder. So we do have 3 unders in the top 10. So we're going back to the under well, if you will. And hey, 18-4 the last 7 days here on this program. So we are feeling pretty good. Let's go around the league here and check in on the injuries that are trickling out. And it's been a little slow going, but over in Tampa, I did say yesterday, I mentioned Rick Stroud. He's a veteran guy. You know, reading between the lines on his tweets, it's like, yeah, Chris Godwin and Bucky Irvin, they're working, but this is probably not going to happen for him this week. And they will both not play in week number 11 against the Bills. Now, in that very same game, no Dalton Kincaid. He has been ruled out. So it's Dawson Knox o'clock. It's not a bad option. I actually picked him up in a league where it's I'm digging deep. There was a time where I was very high on Dawson Knox. I used to call him Fort Knox because all that dude did was score, basically. It was like 21, something like that. Anywho, no Kincaid. I do think that helps Khalil Shakir, but he is on the injury report with an ankle. But head coach Sean McDermott said that Shakir is in a good spot. So we do like that. I may or may not be in on a Khalil Shakir prop. We are at the time of the year where it's really tough to only go with completely healthy guys. I mean, I did that the first couple of months, but last week we had to delve into some injured guys like Rome Odunze. That did hit. So I'm feeling kind of the same way, by the way, about Mr. Khalil Shakir. Didn't work out for Garrett Wilson, but hey, Garrett Wilson aggravated the injury during the game. He was good to go 1 week ago. We did not get that prop correct. Unfortunately, the injuries have really hurt us. By the way, last week we got 2 unders win that I think would have won that on guys who got hurt. Romeo Doubs and Aronde Getz. And it's just my luck that they didn't need to get hurt. They were still not hitting, but yet they got hurt. So I guess I'll take my luck there. Otherwise, not a ton. Rico Dowdle was removed from the injury report. He will play. So if you're looking for Rico Suave, you're looking good here. I'm going to quickly go through what else is popping here that I see on the injury report. No Terry McLaurin, of course. I saw that Debo Samuel, somebody tweeted he didn't want to get wet by sitting on the ground stretching this morning. That's not good. That's not a great sign. For the Dolphins, they're not going to have tackle Austin Jackson. That's not great. He is listed as doubtful. We'll see about checking on Hassan Reddick for the Bucs. I haven't seen an update on him. Villavea has also been limited. I'm sure he'll probably go. Oh, but the Bills will probably get Josh Palmer back. For the Packers and the Giants in that game, obviously no Jackson Dart. Darius Slayton has been out of practice, but I don't think it's injury related. Golden and Watson have been limited. But Romeo Doubs, I'm sure they're going to go. Romeo Doubs, a full go in practice today. Vikings, Bears. We're going to get perhaps the healthiest offensive line that we've had in Minnesota since like the first series in week one. If they somehow activate Ryan Kelly, they're going to have all five starters back on the offensive line, which is absolutely huge. Checking on TJ Edwards, the linebacker for the Bears. Otherwise, their receiving core is a little banged up here. Roma Dunze is still limited, as is DJ Moore. Bengals, Steelers, obviously Joe Burrow, but we're not going to get Joe Burrow back this week. Samaje Perine has been out of practice. That should bode well for Chase Brown. For the Pittsburgh, Highsmith's been out of practice. I don't know if that's even injury related. Don't see anything earth-shattering here. Darius Slay has been banged up. For the Chargers, Jaguars, a little early to look at these injuries, by the way. We're kind of low, but we'll check in on Brenton Strange and Parker Washington and Brian Thomas. Texans, Titans, I don't see anything worth noting here, especially for the Tennessee Titans. They are absolutely hurting for sure. We mentioned Rico Dowdle. He is good to go. A bunch of dudes a little banged up here for the Falcons. Spoiler alert, I am in on a Bijan Robinson prop tonight for Sunday's action. Don't see anything else here of note. And we're also running out of time. So we'll step aside. Injuries coming down here on a Friday. It's a very tough time to pick props, by the way, because I like to wait until that Friday injury report is completely out. But we're good. We've got 10 props that I feel very darn good about. But when we return, we'll pivot on over to college football. Week 12 college football with Ben Stevens next here on Prop Points on VSiN.
Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. Every Friday afternoon, right at this time, we pivot on over to college football, and you don't want my insight on college football, because unfortunately this year I kind of learned, when I'm sitting down writing about the upcoming Sunday all day Saturday and I watch college football, I get distracted and I don't get a lot done. So I've been turning it off, quite frankly, and I've been focusing, staying in my lane and sticking to NFL football. But luckily we've got Ben Stevens, who is a co-host of Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN, to pop in here and see what he has cooking and give us some good recos for week 12 in college football. He's on the X machine at Ben Scott Stevens. A little break last week, Ben. I'm sure you're well rested and ready to rock and roll. How are you?
Well rested, John. It is raining in Los Angeles in the month of November. We've got a crucial Big Ten football game at the Coliseum between USC and Iowa. I heard you talking about Novunder. We might see a lack of scoring tomorrow, November, in college football, with three more weekends to go until the end of the regular season. Everything adds on that additional layer of importance, John. So happy to be here on a Friday.
Yeah, I'm really trying to push Novunder onto anyone who'll listen, quite frankly, but that's neither here nor there. Let's get into your plays here. You've got Roman Hemby, Indiana quarterback, and you like over, not a quarterback, he's a running back. So you like over 70 rushing yards. Didn't hit it last week, but I see he's at 4.8, 4.9, 4.6. He hit it the week before against Maryland. What do you see here with Roman Hemby?
Yeah, John, it's really interesting when you look at this spot for Indiana. Last week, of course, surviving at the end with one of the most thrilling grabs we have ever seen, courtesy of Omar Cooper. But they did not run the football well in State College against Penn State, just 3.5 yards per carry. Wisconsin riding a high of winning their first Big Ten game since October of last year. And the Badgers up front have been pretty stout this year. But I think in this game that features a 4-touchdown spread back at the Rock in Bloomington, the Hoosiers get back to establishing the run here in November. Hemby has only hit this number of 70-plus 4 times in 7 Big Ten games for IU this year. But in 6 of those 7 in conference action, John, Hemby has had at least 12 carries. The volume is there. I think Indiana establishes that run tomorrow to get back to the offensive flow that we had seen in weeks previous before the Penn State game a Saturday ago. And that starts with their lead running back in Roman Hemby, 70-plus rushing yards tomorrow against Wisconsin.
Next up, you've got the Oklahoma quarterback, John Mateer, over 210 passing yards. I'm looking through like game logs, and it looks like you're better off with this dude and overs when they lose. I don't know if you have any thoughts there, but why do you like the over 210?
I think a lot of people, John, also look at Wheelan, Stealing, Dealing, John Mateer and the utilization of his legs as the athletic quarterback that he is. But it's a huge game for Oklahoma tomorrow in Tuscaloosa against Alabama. Just a 5.5-point number, fewer than a touchdown spread. And the interesting thing for OU here is they're coming off a bye week. John Mateer, of course, was performing like a Heisman frontrunner in the opening month of the season before injuring the thumb on his right throwing hand against Auburn. John, if you look at the game log, those first 4 games, Mateer is well through this number of 210-plus against the Crimson Tide. Alabama hasn't been bad in the back end. They actually have not been great at stopping the run. So I think we would naturally think that Oklahoma tries to establish it against that Crimson Tide front. I'm going to think with the additional week of rest to get that thumb back to as close to 100% as you could need for this final stretch for the Sooners, that Ben Arbuckle, the offensive coordinator calling the scheme for Oklahoma's offense, starts to open it up once again for his QB in John Mateer, like we saw in the opening month of the year. So Mateer at 210-plus passing yards against Alabama in T-Town tomorrow.
You're into basically the state of Georgia. Next up, we'll start with Haynes King. You like out of Georgia Tech, 2-plus passing touchdowns. He got it last week against NC State. Your thoughts here? It's a little weird seeing a Georgia Tech guy. Again, I'm not a huge college football person, but, you know, I can count the number of prospects from Georgia Tech probably on one hand, starting with Calvin Johnson. But what do you see here with this dude?
Yeah, and Haynes King right now, John, should be in that Heisman conversation. The Jackets off a bye and off their only loss of the season against NC State. It was not a great result for Georgia Tech, but not because of the quarterback play in Haynes King. Nearly 500 yards of total offense by himself and 5 total touchdowns, including 4 through the air. The week prior, or excuse me, 3 the week in that game against NC State. The week prior, multiple passing scores as well. He only has 9 passing touchdowns this year, so the natural follow-up would be, Ben, why are you looking at him to get to 2-plus against BC? Well, Boston College, a 1-win football team in 10 tries this year. Not exactly stout in the secondary or really anywhere on that football turf. And if you look at a lot of the quarterbacks that have played the Eagles this year, we've got a lot of passing touchdowns. Joe Fignano, the quarterback for UConn, 4 passing scores. Aiden Childs, who might not even be the starter anymore for Michigan State, 4 passing touchdowns. Most recently for Boston College a Saturday ago, they gave up 3 passing touchdowns to SMU's quarterback in Kevin Jennings. And Haynes King has been that exciting at the quarterback spot to keep Georgia Tech in the ACC championship race and, of course, in the college football playoff conversation. 2-plus passing touchdowns with just a bit of plus money on it at a plus 122 number.
And last but not least, staying in the state of Georgia, you like University of Georgia, the Bulldogs here, minus 5.5 up against Arch Manning and Texas. And well, I guess we're not going to get Arch Manning in the NFL next year, maybe even another year. But also tell me about our guy Gunnar Stockton. I'm looking at the digits. They look pretty good. 15 touchdowns versus 2 interceptions. I'm still just absolutely fascinated by the fact that I moved to the southeast coast of Georgia and people are just way more interested in the Bulldogs than the Falcons. But how's Gunnar Stockton, and what do you see here with UGA?
Yeah, Gunnar Stockton has looked great this year, John, in command of that Georgia offense. Part of the reason I think the Bulldogs have some success against a Texas defense that is really good defending the run. Georgia has started to find their flow there, but Gunnar Stockton has really been that guy leading everything from the offensive side of the ball. The question for me will be Georgia's secondary. It's been a little bit weaker than usual in a Kirby Smart defense in the decade he has been there between the hedges in Athens against quarterbacks on the other side. And you mentioned Arch Manning coming off his best game of the season against Vanderbilt a few weekends ago at home in Austin, 25 of 33, 328 through the air, 3 passing touchdowns. But this is the game where I think Georgia lets everybody know the offensive struggles for the Longhorns were the real deal. And this is the game I think that Georgia solidifies their place in the national championship conversation. And this would be the third loss for UT, I believe, an eliminator from the college football playoff perspective. I do not think the offensive issues that Texas masked against Vanderbilt because they have struggled to run the football will allow them to benefit in the same way against UGA in Athens tomorrow night. So I laid the 5.5 with Georgia early in the week, expecting the number to move. It's still 6.5 right now. I would get it before it even approaches that flat 7 or goes north of a touchdown, John.
Now I'm going to ask you a question. And I don't want to throw you off here, but when you're hosting Live Bet Saturday on VSiN with our guy Dustin Sweetelson, what percentage of your brain power is devoted to following all your prop recommendations and hoping that they hit? And what percentage are you, you know, covering all the college football action? Because for me, it would be like 40% of my brain power would be focusing on my props.
I would say it's probably 75-25. You're so enthralled with all of the games that we have. We often have 12-13 right in the early window, and we're trying to present those live wagering opportunities. Dustin and I do a pretty good job, if I do say so myself, of keeping it authentic, keeping it engaging, and enjoying the early window. But of course, John, a lot of my research to that noon Eastern slate, and so I get a lot of the props from that spot, including Roman Hemby tomorrow, 70-plus rushing yards at home against the Badgers. So that will be front and center as I think about what is playing out in the early slate for Big Ten football.
That's a great point. You do the in-game betting stuff. That's not something I have dealt with yet, but you do it, and you and Dustin do it, and a lot of people do it, so it's very much needed. So we thank you for that, sir. And everyone can follow Ben on the X Machine at Ben Scott Stevens. We'll talk DFS with Jake Tribby on the other side. But first, make the holidays unforgettable with Omaha Steaks. From holiday roasts to hand-selected gift packages, Omaha Steaks delivers top-quality meats and memorable gifts that bring everyone together. Every steak is perfectly aged and hand-carved for exceptional flavor. And right now, as a VSiN exclusive, you can get 16 free smash burgers with any order of $1.29 or more, plus 50% off site-wide. Visit omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. Aronde Gadsden removed from the injury report for week 11 for the Chargers. Ladd McConkey questionable. Quentin Johnston questionable. Jake Tribby never questionable. He'll join us next with DFS picks on prop points on VSIN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Friday edition of Prop Points continues right now. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com, and from the aforementioned website, your 2021 Fantasy Sports Writers Association Football Writer of the Year, Jake Tribby, does NFL, DFS, the best UFL person on earth, staff writer of Fantasy Points on the X Machine at Jake Tribby. Here to talk a little DFS. Jake, what's up? How are you?
Doing well, John. Appreciate you guys having me on again. Another great week of DFS lined up.
Let's go right to Justin Herbert. I just gave a little update that Quentin Johnston is still questionable. as is Ladd McConkey removed from the injury report, as was Aronde Gadsden. So it's pretty much all hands on deck, obviously, other than your two starting offensive tackles. But you like Herbert here. I think he's been running. I know the Jags give up rushing production to quarterbacks. I want to go with some Herbert rushing props, but I'm a little scared. I mean, I'm not totally sold he's going to run every week, but what do you see here with Herbert at 6,300?
Yeah, at least for DFS, I think this is a great price for Herbert. He scored at least 26 DraftKings points in three of his last four games. For week 11, you already mentioned Jags defense hasn't been great. They're actually the league's single softest schedule adjusted defense for opposing quarterbacks since week six. You already mentioned the offensive line concerns, John, but Jacksonville ranks bottom eight in pressure rate over expectation over the full season. They also rank bottom five in raw pressure rate over the last 5 weeks. So this really isn't a defense that we're going to have a lot of concern about in regard to them getting pressure on Justin Herbert. Plus, the volume should be there unless this game ends up turning into a blowout, which, you know, is certainly a risk given that they are playing Jacksonville. But the Chargers have remained one of the league's most pass-heavy teams. They have the league's third highest pass rate over expectation, despite their offensive line issues. So I think, you know, from a volume perspective and, you know, just taking into consideration the talent Herbert has to throw to, this is a really nice double stack and a really clean double stack, I think, between him, Quinn Johnston, Aronde Gadsden. You can mix in a little Ladd McConkey. But yeah, I really think that Johnston, Gadsden, Herbert double stack is quite nice this week.
Spoiler alert, we may be in on an under for one of the players just mentioned, but we'll get to that in the next segment. You also have Rico Dowdle on your list. I did give out an injury update on him just a little while ago, and that I think he was also removed from the injury report. I guess he's officially usurped Chuba Hubbard. What do you see here with Rico Suave? I'm very concerned about Bryce Young and Tet McMillan in the passing game against Atlanta, but they've been run on lately.
Yeah, last week was just a complete floor game for Rico Dowdle. Still managed 15 fantasy points. It was finally a game as a starter for him where he didn't score 30 DraftKings points. But again, the workload was still there. 78% of snaps, 78% of carries, a 12% target share, and 82% of backfield expected fantasy points. That's a fantastic workload. And, you know, at 6,800, he's obviously underpriced relative to the 21.4 expected fantasy points per game and 28.9 DraftKings fantasy points per game that he's averaged in his four games as a bell cow rusher. And, you know, this Atlanta defense has been pretty solid all year, but they've been pretty solid against the pass. They've actually been quite weak against opposing running backs, especially in the second half of the season. Atlanta ranks as the league's second softest schedule adjusted matchup for opposing running backs since week six. I do think there's some systemic risk with Dowdle that Carolina just ends up not playing well at all offensively, because again, Bryce Young has struggled a ton. They are 3.5 point underdogs here. So, you know, playing into the spread, playing into Bryce Young, there is some risk with Dowdle, but the floor is just fantastic given his workload. And when you compare the workload to the price, I mean, he's one of the best running back plays on the slate.
Jake Tribby on the line with us here from fantasypoints.com, breaking down week 11 DFS action and some pickage here on the X Machine at Jake Tribby. And I got to tell you, there have been moments during this season, maybe a day or two, where I've literally forgotten that Nico Collins existed. And that's not great, but not all his fault. Maybe this week with Davis Mills in, some people might be a little concerned about the backup quarterback, but I would argue that, is there really a drop-off from C.J. Stroud to Davis Mills? What do you see here with Nico up against Tennessee?
Yeah, at least when it comes to Nico Collins' fantasy production, I would argue Davis Mills might be potentially better for Nico Collins. He's seen double-digit targets in three straight games. He had 15 targets last week, good for 25 expected fantasy points. That was the third most by any wide receiver in any game this season. And Collins was productive on that good volume. He had 136 receiving yards. Like I mentioned, maybe Davis Mills is sort of the cure to what has been ailing Nico Collins. At the very least, Mills understands that he needs to pepper his best wide receiver with targets. He's targeted Collins on 33% of his throws. That's higher than CJ Stroud this season. I do understand being concerned about Tennessee's ability to push the Texans here. I mean, the total here is very low, 37.5 last I checked. And, you know, obviously that would impact Nico Collins' production. But each of these offenses rank among the top 10 fastest by seconds per play. And the Titans are allowing the 6th most receiving yards per game on deep throws, which is obviously Collins' game. So I do think there's a bit more upside with Nico Collins, especially at a price tag of $6,700 than the total and, of course, his price would imply.
You've got Georgie Kittle on your list here. Finally had a nice game there with Mac Jones, but that might be a moot point here. I don't know if it's official, but I do believe we're trending toward Brock Purdy. We're also trending toward Ricky Pearsall, yet you still do like George Kittle up against Arizona for 5,000. Jacoby Brissett playing well, but no Marvin Harrison. Probably hurts a little bit of the shootout potential here, but what do you see with George?
Yeah, I think overall this is a fantastic slate for higher price tight ends, guys like Trey McBride, Aronde Gadsden, George Kittle, especially when you compare them to their wide receiver counterparts. These guys are all like way more productive than their price tag would imply. And last week, Kittle turned 9 targets into 84 yards, 23 fantasy points. He actually posted a positive average separation score for the first time since week 1, which suggests he's getting much healthier. You know, maybe he's finally back here, and Brock Purdy's back this week too, which should be good news for Kittle. Kittle averages 18.1 DraftKings fantasy points per game over his last 13 full games with Brock Purdy. And keep in mind that 18.1 fantasy points per game would rank 6th among all slate eligible wide receivers. But, you know, Kittle's at a price tag $700 lower than DK Metcalf, $500 lower than Wandale Robinson. So like I mentioned with these high priced tight ends this week, when you compare them to wide receivers, they start looking like excellent values.
Jake Tribby on the X machine at Jake Tribby. Make sure you give him a follow over at fantasypoints.com, doing the great work on all things, well, football, UFL especially. And Jake, great stuff. Good luck with all the recos, and we'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, John. Thank you.
We have Propage. There he goes. We have Propage that we're going to pop out on the other side, but we do have just a couple of minutes here, so I don't have to rush through it like I believe last week. Let's pop up my – I got only 3 touchdown props that I'm in on here. I'm going to be popping out my 10 regular props, but first one is Jalen Naylor, who is balling with – J.J. McCarthy. That is why Jalen Naylor's getting targets. Jalen Naylor's making great plays for J.J. McCarthy. Meanwhile, Justin Jefferson, he's dropping touchdowns, and he's falling on a downfield throws like last week. So I like this. The Bears are, first of all, they're a deep funnel, and Naylor is just as dangerous of a deep threat in this offense right now as Justin Jefferson. They're also a slot funnel. And that is where Naylor lines up 59% of the time. Christian Watson, it didn't happen last week, but I do believe we have an excellent chance this week up against the Giants. He'll see a lot of Deonte Banks on the outside. He's beatable. They play a lot of man, as we mentioned last week, and it worked out with Watson at least going over his yardage prop. So downfield threat between the likelihood of him making a big play downfield and just simply getting a red zone target. I mean, the dude is 6'5". He's massive. So I like this at plus 255. And then last but not least, the old veteran Zachary Ertz up against Miami. Bad vibes with Debo, but Ertz is Mr. Reliable. The Dolphins run cover 2, cover 3 at a 55% clip, and he averages a pretty solid 1.88 yards per route run. Miami also gives up the 5th most receiving yards and the 6th most receptions per game to tight ends. So Zach Ertz, yet again, crossing the stripe for a touchdown. On the other side, we'll pop out my official picks for week 11. But first, VSiN Pro subscribers now have exclusive access to our new AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the trusted source behind elite soccer analytics in the UK. You'll get data-driven projections for quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs, plus exclusive NBA player prop projections, all compared directly to DraftKings lines to help you find value. Access it all with a VSiN Pro subscription at VSiN.com/subscribe. 10 more props coming at you on the other side, including three unders here as we enjoy and we continue to enjoy November. Coming at you next here with the picks, next on Prop Points on VSiN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Final segment on a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, aka money time. So hopefully we can stay hot. I'm not going to get arrogant, but we've been doing pretty well. I feel pretty good about these selections. Could we get pinched by the National Fake You Out League? Of course. But I do really like these picks here. And I've got a pretty unusual, maybe surprising best bet, but I'm feeling it. I am absolutely feeling it. And it is literally my favorite play on the board. So stay tuned for that. We're 8-2 on best bets on the season. But we'll start off with a guy we took as under last week, Bijan Robinson, and this is a really good line, by the way, on Fanatics. You know, maybe not the greatest odds at minus 120, but Bijan over 70.5. You know, the Falcons have been a little pass heavy lately, right? How's it going? Not well. They're 0-4 in their last four, and well, actually, they're 1-3 in their last four. So they've lost three in a row being pass happy. So I think it's time to get back to basics and back to Bijan, who looked a lot better last week, 17 carries for 84 yards. Carolina gives up the 10th most adjusted yards before contact, the 13th most rushing yards per game at 98. A previously deceased Alvin Kamara, of all people, got them for 83 yards last week on 23 carries. They're giving up the 8th highest explosive run rate. And most importantly, they're 4.77 yards per carry given up on zone concept runs, 7th worst in the NFL. They have given up the 8th most rushing yards on those runs, and that's Bijan's jam. That's his deal, those zone concept runs. They're 3.5 home favorites, and Bryce Young's awful. So I think we're looking good with volume for Bijan Robinson. Next up, Jalen Waddle, the game across the pond. I searched everything, and you know, the catch yardage total is pretty high. I think we're a lot safer going with the over 5.5 receptions. The odds are pretty good here, -118. He's got 5+ grabs and 82+ yards in 5 of 6 games without Tyreek Hill. The only time he didn't do it was in that horrible game in rain and wind in Cleveland. They run through the DC Commanders cover 3 and cover 1 53% of the time, and Waddle crushes it, 3.25 yards per route run. Jamison Williams, I did like the Lions to torch DC last week. They did. J-Mo got him for 6 grabs for $119 receiving. He was Jalen Waddle set to see a lot of Marshawn Lattimore, but he's on IR. So now we have the formerly benched cornerback Jonathan Jones, who gives up a generous 0.36 fantasy points per route run. Next up, we're in November, and I'm doing it. Under 7.5 receptions for Puka Nacua, who has now failed to top a 62% route share in 3 straight games. Part of it is minor injuries. Part of it is he's losing routes to Davante Adams when they go in 13 personnel with 3 tight ends on the field. Seattle, by the way, they play the same way. So they're very well equipped to slow these guys down a little bit, at least not. They won't go off the Rams, I don't think. The Seattle Seahawks are giving up the 6th fewest schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to wide receivers lined up on the right, which is Puka Nacua's spot. That's mostly Reek Woolen, who that was part of my analysis last week when I took the under on Marvin Harrison catches, which hit even though he got 12 targets. A lot of that was Reek Woolen, who has given up a stingy 0.14 fantasy points per route run. Seattle also gives up the 3rd fewest receiving yards and the fewest yards per route run to receivers out wide. We also show it overall as a negative schematic matchup for Puka, representing a 12% drop to his expected fantasy points. So, I mean, it might be a game where he only catches like six balls for 82. So the greedy Puka people, you're going to be a little disappointed this week because the role is being, you know, reduced just a little. Next, this guy is on the injury report. His coach addressed it today. Ankle has been limited all week. Probably good to go. Khalil Shakir, maybe not good to go, but he's a tough dude. Available, durable. No Dalton Kincaid. That's big. So let's go over 45.5. Tampa gives up. They're kind of middling. They give up the 11th fewest receiving yards to slot receivers. But Steph Diggs got him for 5 for 46 last week. The Bucs blitz, because that's Todd Bowles, top five rate. Shakir gets a 42% boost to his yards per route run and a 41% boost to his fantasy points per route run against the blitz. The Bucs also allow the second most receiving yards on shallow throws traveling 10 yards or fewer near the line of scrimmage. That's where Shakir gets 80% of his targets. Again, no Dalton Kincaid. And finally, good schematic matchup. They run cover three, cover four, 52% of the time. And Shakir averages a stellar 2.72 yards per route run on 110 routes against those coverages. Next up, Ladd McConkey. Love Ladd. We won a prop on him a couple of weeks ago on Thursday Night Football, but I'm going to go under 5.5 receptions. The Jags are a perimeter funnel, allowing the second most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to outside wide receivers, but the fewest to the slot. Ladd's run 68% of his routes from the aforementioned slot. We like Quentin Johnston in this game, by the way. Jacksonville, again, outside funnel. They run cover three and cover six at a 53% clip. He's only at 1.47 yards per route run. That's not great. Jags allowing the second most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends, and Aronde Gadsden removed from the injury report. So between Gadsden, Quentin Johnston, of course, Keenan Allen, Kamani Vidal in the running game, oh, and the fact that the Jags stink, I don't think they're going to have to throw it a lot. So I think it's only like a 3, 4, or 5 catch game for McConkey as long as he doesn't get to 6. Next up, James Cook. Look, it's all about James Cook. They're 5.5 home favorites. I think the Bucs are in trouble against a tough and stingy pass defense. And the Bills go as James Cook goes. He didn't go well last week. They lost. He averages 21.9 fantasy points per game in Bills wins. Tampa gives up the fifth most adjusted yards before contact. Trevion Henderson got him last week, good, for 147/2. Decent schematic matchup. I think they're going to feed James Cook. Next up, Christian Watson. We talked about the schematics earlier. The Giants have allowed the sixth most receiving yards to opposing outside wide receivers, the fifth most on deep throws traveling 20 yards down the field, the NFL's sixth highest pass rate over expectation, meaning teams like the Packers, their opposing team, generally choose to throw against them. He ran around on a season-high 81% of the Packers' dropbacks last week. He's got over 100 air yards in each of the last two games. Giants run man coverage at the NFL's highest rate, and Watson crushes that with 3.3 yards per route run. So love that. Also, I'm going in on A.J. Brown. Remember him? Over 4.5 receptions. I believe we took the under on Friday, but he's a man beater, and the Lions run the second highest rate of man. A.J. Brown averages a stellar 4.0 yards per route run against man. Detroit, I think you look, if you're Philly and you don't throw to A.J. Brown, then you should cut him because this is a big game in Philly. You want to knock off Detroit, get that advantage. So I think they're going to throw to A.J. Brown in this game. Next up, Chase Brown, under 78.5 rushing receiving yards. The Steelers have been a pass funnel. Their defense is all of a sudden now they're good again. I don't trust that he'll get what he got last time out. A couple of weeks ago, that was 11 for 108. He only got 2 catches for -8, by the way, in the game. So that's it. We're all caught up. All we have left is the best bet. I'm going to take a little extra time for this puppy because I wrote a short novel about it. But stay tuned to VSiN after we sign off here with Prop Points. It is, in fact, Money Moves with Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 p.m. Eastern. Mike Palm checks in from Circus Sports. Will Hill shares his sharpest sides. And Doug Vasquez and Zach Cohen break down the NFL and NBA betting opportunities heading into the weekend. Followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern. Then stick around Circa Friday Football Invitational hosted by Matt Humans at 7 p.m. Eastern. Well, one pick to go. Best bet. We are 8-2 on these puppies on the season through 10 weeks. This might be a little surprising. I watched the Vikings this past week. J.J. McCarthy is not really the problem. J.J. McCarthy is getting better. J.J. McCarthy has been let down by his team, namely Justin Jefferson. So we're going over 215.5 for J.J. McCarthy. Definitely playing better. The Bears are one of the worst teams in terms of pressure. That's it. They have the second worst in terms of generating pressure. So that is going to be massive for him. Justin Jefferson's got a very good matchup. I mentioned Jalen Naylor. The Bears are a slot funnel. They are a deep funnel as well. It's even a good matchup for TJ Hockenson. So you have JJ McCarthy back there. He might have all five starters back up against a poor pass rush and a very beatable secondary in a game that could be a little bit of a shootout. So I really think this is as close to a lock as it gets, over 215.5. That is a wrap. Good luck with all the plays. We'll catch you Monday for another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. You're welcome.